to just again greet you this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful to be here. This morning, let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Now I want to turn to John, just back a few pages. To John 21 and verse 20. This is just after Jesus had given some direction to Peter. Well, let's just read in 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loveth following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith unto him, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. I want just to bring up a couple of points out of this. We go a lot of different directions, but when Paul met the Lord, he fell and he said, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me do? What is it that you want me to do with my life? What do I need? What do I need to do? Then we want to just look at this statement of Peter. Peter, seeing him, said unto Jesus, And what shall this man do? Peter had gotten clear instructions from the Lord. And when he was finished, he said, Lord, what's that man supposed to be doing? I don't know how many times I've done it, but I have done it before. Read Ephesians chapter 5, just for an example. And I've seen it happen all my life. Whenever we read Ephesians chapter 5 and the Bible talks about man, love your wives even as Christ loves the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Whenever the verse is read about the wives, the husband pokes his wife, listen up. And when the verse is read about the husband, the wife pokes the husband and says, listen up. I've asked congregations after I just read the whole little portion there before, I said, okay, women, what did this verse say? Usually meeting just with people trying to teach them for the first time or two. What did that verse say? And almost without doubt, they'll say, wives, love your husbands. Then I asked the men, what did this say? And they'll usually say, wives, submit yourselves to your husband. I may have said that wrong there. Husbands, love your wives is what the women would catch. And the men would catch, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. people are so concerned about what shall this man do that they neglect to hear or to come to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Appreciated the thought this morning in the children's lesson. Mephibosheth said, Lord, I'm but a dead dog speaking to David. And then whenever the man had slandered him and told David that he was trying to be the king and take over, whenever David returned, David had already given this man the land, half the land and half of the possessions that belonged to Jonathan or to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth said, I don't care about that. I just want to be your servant. David said in the psalm, Lord, just let me be a doorkeeper in your house. Let me just be a servant. Whenever everyone has that attitude, there's hardly any bickering or squabbles anywhere. But when someone begins to be concerned, not about what he's doing, but about what they're doing, what's his job? Why ain't he doing his job the way he's supposed to? Then there becomes to be problems, and problems begin to arise. That's what makes most of the problems. If we were busy about the Lord's business, not worrying so much about what everyone else should be doing, but just faithfully doing whatever we find our hands to do and doing it with all our might, if we'll each do that, we will have fellowship one with another. But if we go to wondering what everybody else is supposed to be doing and begin to neglect what we're supposed to be doing, which always goes hand in hand, then what we're supposed to be doing becomes neglected. And we put our focus on what everybody else is supposed to be doing. How can you have unity in that? It's a little story I've heard just recently in a factory or an office or something. I don't remember just exactly what. But there was a person working there, and everybody gave that person the worst jobs. Whenever some bad job would come up, everyone would say, well, let old George do that. Let's just make George do that job. And so George just went and did the job. When it was time to clean out the bathroom. They said, let George do that. Give it to George. I don't want to do it. Give it to George. So George just went and did it. And it became so common that every time a bad job came up, first thought was give it to George. Give it to George. And George faithfully just went and did it. Well, as time went on, people higher and higher in the company, whenever they needed something done, they began to say, give it to George. And as the jobs got bigger and bigger and higher and higher, and the positions in the company needed someone higher and higher to fill it, management began to say, give it to George. Give it to George. He had proven himself in that which is the least. You may not think anyone knows what you're doing when you're doing the least. But you do it long enough, pretty soon, everybody will know that you're dependable. But if you fight and fuss and say, I don't want to do that, I did that last week, it's your turn. It's your turn to do that. I don't want to do it. You do it. Whenever it comes time to do something good, you know who's going to get overlooked? The bellyacher. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Forget about what you want to be. Forget about a title. You do what you're supposed to be doing. And do it with all your heart. Lord, what would you have me do? With just a handful of people that really got a hold of that and meant it with all their heart. Christianity turned the world upside down. I believe Peter got a hold of this later. Maybe the Lord let him be blind for a moment so he could put this in here as a lesson to us. A lot of times we talk about and have talked about the perfect church. Many times people come and complain, well, what about them? Look at them. They're not doing everything they're supposed to be doing. Maybe they're just, the Lord left them there to see if you'll just ignore that. And you just do what you need to be doing. Maybe you need to reach out and befriend that person. Maybe when you see somebody not measuring up to what You want them to be. Maybe you should draw closer to them. Be an example to them instead of separating yourself so far from them. Christ didn't. The Bible says in Hebrews that He was separate from sinners. And whenever He was on the cross, He was right in between sinners. Right there in the middle of a couple of them. People often say that, well, Jesus came and He hung out with sinners. Well, that's not what happened. But He went where they were at. And He humbled Himself. And He spent time with them. Not trying to be like them, to win them. But to show them a different way. To try to open their eyes. I remember the story about the blind man that came to Jesus. And Jesus put some mud, I think He spit on the ground and made some mud and put it on his eyes. May have the stories mixed up a little bit. But Jesus asked him if he saw anything, and he said, yes, I see men as trees walking. And he touched him again, or he did something again, and then he asked him again, what do you see now? And he said, I see everything clearly as I ought to. The purpose of the gospel, what Paul was taught, he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? The next place he tells recounts the story in later part of Acts. And he says, part of his responsibility was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Love covers iniquity. Love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says in other places. Sometimes we see only men as trees walking. God sees a soul. It's worth more than all the world combined. Probably one of the most wearisome things to me in preaching and teaching and trying to just do what God has called me to do is just sort out people who are looking, coming, saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Almost everyone we meet comes with an attitude of, what is this man doing? What is this man supposed to be doing? What are you doing? There's just so little of that attitude of a servant. What would the Lord have me to do? We're all concerned about what everybody else is doing. Lord, what would you have me to do? So, difficult sometimes. Just over and over and over again. How concerned people are about what everybody else is doing. And if we just do what we're supposed to be doing, it's amazing what kind of unity there can be. It goes that way in the homes. It goes that way in the church. It goes away that way at work. Just works so much nicer when everyone's just wanting to take care of what they're supposed to be doing. Young people, this will be the blessing, a big blessing in your life if you'll just learn what I'm trying to show you this morning. Your whole life will be a lot better. Not even worried about theirs. Not even being concerned about the blessing you'll be to others. Your life will go a lot smoother. Just be happy to be George. A real blessing there, even when Jesus was 12 years old. They left him in the Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem. And they couldn't find him, and they left, and then they got 3 days' journey and got to searching for him and couldn't find him. They went back and they found him in the temple teaching the doctors. Just simply being faithful, teaching men about the Lord. Just teaching men about the Lord. And they questioned him, and he said, "Don't you know I'm going to be about my Father's business?" I'm going to be doing my Father's business. What a blessing. Just to be about our Father's business. We're so indoctrinated with the ideas of this denomination or that denomination or doing it this way or having our theology and our all of those things just so. And we get so caught up in all of those things sometimes that we just forget just to be about our Father's business. That's the only purpose in our life. That's the only reason for a church. That's the only reason for a church is just a group of people who are about their Father's business, and they come and have fellowship and communion together. Anything outside of that is wrong. It's nothing more than a Lions Club, nothing more than a worldly organization. If you'll be about your Father's business and I'll be about my Father's business, we'll have so much unity and fellowship that we can truly love one another and help each other. May the Lord add His blessings.